Smuts Up is part of the Green Mushroom Podcast Network.
The Smuts Up Podcast is a bad show made by idiots. You probably shouldn't listen to it. The Smuts Up Podcast is for entertainment purposes only and is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease except boredom, and even that's up for debate. Proceed with caution and listen at your own risk.
It's a bad show made by idiots.
I put a D20 in my mouth. I put a D20 in my mouth.
Your desires.
I put a D20 in my mouth.
Smuts Up. You are listening to the Smuts Up Podcast. When you're here, you're step family. I'm Luxa.
And I'm Deep-wheeled. That's how I sound now.
I don't know how I feel about that. You deep weird?
Deep weird. It's very weird.
Very weird.
Very, very weird.
Okay. Well, fuck yeah. Right. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm really sleepy. So I guess that's not all right. I mean, you know, it's a good kind of sleepy, though. I'm full of energy. Full of energy and lies.
Full of something.
you. Oh, man. Shut up. Sorry, that was rude. But anyways, yeah, we had a wonderful interview that we would like to present to all of you.
Absolutely. This is another installment of our interview series, Deep Penetration.
Deep Penetration.
And for this one, we had a really interesting interview with Stevie, who came to share some of their thoughts about feet and loving feet and so much more. Super stoked to share that with everybody.
It's a real feast of feet.
Okay, absolutely.
That's all I wanted to say.
So before we get into it here, we did want to wish everybody Happy Pride Month. Not Pride Month while you're listening to it, make the whatever month you're listening to Pride Month also.
Yeah.
So fuck like, yeah.
Make it a whole Pride lifetime, a whole
Pride
year.
Life.
Pride life. Not just 1 month.
So do you have any thoughts before we dive right in here, Deep?
I actually don't have any thoughts right now, but honestly, like when we had the interview, I was like just full of thoughts, and you'll not to spoil them, but you'll see that, you know, they will get answered. Stevie is very insightful and, you know, not to get into it, but it was a real joy to have them on.
Yeah, absolutely. It was super cool to hear their, you know, takes on stuff. And also, I really enjoyed the thoughtful and candid manner that they were able to, and willing to share everything with us. So, fuck yeah. Thank you so much to Stevie for joining us. And if people listening are curious about sharing thoughts or anything like that, how can they do that?
Well, you can just hit us up on the smutsup69@gmail.com. Come or hit me up at Smuts Up on Instagram. We would love to hear from you.
Absolutely. All right. Well, how about this? Without further ado, let's dive right in, feet first, into our conversation with Stevie.
Deep penetration.
Deep penetration. Oh. Deep penetration. Oh. All right. That's enough.
I put a D20 so in my mouth.
Deep sloppy.
Deep penetration.
A catastrophe, Joseph.
Welcome to Deep Penetration. We are here with our guest, Stevie. Stevie, how's it going?
Pretty good. Pretty good. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you so much for having me. I don't get an opportunity to talk about this a whole lot.
Fantastic. Well, I can't get enough of talking about this stuff, so I'm so excited.
Good.
Would you be so kind as to go ahead and kind of introduce yourself, like a little bit of background, what you're up to, what you're into?
What I'm up to and into background. My name is Stevie. I'm lots of things. I don't know what is relevant here. I have a boring day job that I don't want to talk about because that's boring.
Fair.
an ethically non-monogamous foot fetishist trying to be a service top gender fluid individual. That's a lot. For a large part of my life, I was a serial monogamist. Didn't realize that I was non-monogamous or know that there was like that kind of blueprint that was, there was a relationship structure like that or a lifestyle like that, and probably would have been intimidated because for a lot of my life, I was frankly too immature for something like that and too maybe mentally not stable enough. And so I was married and monogamous for like 8 years, had been monogamous before then. And then my wife and I, my ex-wife and I opened up our marriage. It was around 2016. And then that just cracked me wide open. And I got on FetLife and it was exciting to like get back on OkCupid. I hadn't been on there since I was, you know, in college, and it was exciting to like fill out profiles and stuff and put myself back out there. And it made me do a lot of self crit and grow a lot, because I suddenly needed to be someone who's tolerable to be around if I wanted dates. You sort of get into, and this is no dig on monogamous people. I'm not righteous about it, but as a monogamous person, I definitely worn into like a groove. We both had, my ex-wife and I, and yeah, just all kinds of exciting things came out of that. And my foot fetishism didn't come out of that. I've always had a foot fetish, but it allowed me to explore that in new ways, right, and with new people, even to just be on places like FetLife, which is like a BDSM kink fetish online community, and to just be on there and connect with other people that are into feet, and you know, spam stare at feet like for hours, whatever.
as one does.
Yeah, as one does. Yeah, and then also learn about other people's kinks and maybe get a bit, little bit of validation that you're not a total weirdo, or at least not a bad weirdo, like a good weirdo. I think that's a pretty good background so far as what's relevant here.
Yeah, fantastic. So we had come kind of naturally to the topic of foot fetishism, which is, I think, primarily what we're going to talk about today. Maybe just to give like a little bit of a background, we could talk about like what it is as we understand it before going into your own perspectives on it.
Okay.
So, well, we've talked about it a little bit on the show before. Mm-hmm. I think it came up, I think, in the first episode.
I think so, too. And I was listening and thinking like, oh,
yeah,
so, and get so, on and talk about going.
Hell yeah. Well, and so according to the research that we've, you know, been able to find, it's one of the really the more common kinks. Mm-hmm. What I find is so interesting about that, though, too, is that it does seem to be highly stigmatized still in our culture in a lot of ways. And I mean, I have ideas about like maybe where this might be coming from. Mm-hmm. I think that like in a patriarchal society, and the fact that in a lot of times foot fetishism can manifest as sort of like a submissive,
yes,
way of looking at things. It doesn't have to be like that. And we'll totally talk about that soon. But I think that maybe there's just something in a patriarchal society where the idea of like maybe quote male or whatever submission is unwelcome. And a lot of times it is men or males who have this this interest. So
yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure. That's just my stab in the dark there. But is that, have you noticed a stigmatization around it?
You know, I think a lot of it is just projected. I have noticed, I mean, when I first, you know, when I got opened up to all of this and was introduced to FetLife and the local fetish community, I was able to connect with other people into feet, but really in like where I am, just one other person. It was more, you know, finding groups and stuff just online, people to talk to, but locally it's still just like, it seemed like, as far as I can tell, or you know, who's on FetLife, is just one other person. And that person, I sort of agree that even within BDSM, it's a little bit, I don't know if stigma is the right word, it's just sort of like not understood. I remember being at one of a kink event here, and we're all standing around like in a circle talking. Me and these other people had gotten there sort of first, and It wasn't too loud, and we were just talking about what we were into. And when it hadn't gotten to me yet, and it got to someone before me, and she said, "I'm, you know, pretty much into anything. You know, I can't think of anything I'm not into. Oh, except like feet. I just don't understand that." And talked about how gross that sounded to her. So that made me realize, or sort of like go through again the stigma that I sort of felt before I found out that there was a whole online and a whole like real world, you know, community or universe for people into fetishes. It's like went through it again. Like I thought I was here in like the cool place, like where we could be open, but this is still stigmatized. I guess. And that's just one person, but yeah.
And also what that person said is a little bonkers, just considering, you know, like, oh yes, I'm into anything, right? Like,
oh yeah, sure.
There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, sure. I mean, like paraphrasing, but yeah. That's sort of the, what kind of music do you listen to? And it's like, oh, just everything, but not really. Cause like, you're not like jamming polka music or something.
Yeah, have you heard of Norwegian death metal? Pretty sure you haven't.
Right. Or Norwegian polka metal.
I love Norwegian polka metal, yeah. Is what I would say if I had ever heard Norwegian polka metal.
Right.
But I haven't, and I think that's a shame.
You should check out Danish folk metal. It's even better. Mm. Mm.
Danish foot metal.
So, I mean, I guess in general terms, like, and thank you for sharing your experiences about that. It's definitely like super interesting to hear about.
Sure.
And so I guess maybe in just general terms, we could define like foot interest or foot fetishism or foot partiality as taking a sexual interest in feet. Is that, I mean, is that a good enough definition to be going on?
I think
on
that's
with,
good enough.
Think?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think that you may, it's been a long time since I've heard that first episode or sort of visited like a 101, what is a fetish? But I mean, as far as I understand, fetish or a partialism, it has to do with being into something, whether it's an inanimate object with fetishism or just a body part with partialism, into something that isn't directly related to sex, whereas there are other parts that make more sense because they're directly related to sex. That's how I understand it. So if you were into earlobes, that would be, you know, like a earlobe fetish.
Sure.
But you wouldn't really have, well, I guess boobs.
Yeah, I was going to say
one.
Breasts.
It's a strange one. I guess it is a fetishism, yeah, because it's not directly, yeah.
So, yeah, and I think, like, I would build on what you said, too, about fetishism. I think in terms of, like, the clinical definition of it, it's something that you, like, have to have present either like, in your mind or, like, with you in order to, like, be able to get off. But that's, like, the technical definition of it. There's all kinds of other ones.
So, sure. Yeah. And I don't know if that is... I think it's a little gray for me, that little last tidbit. I don't know I don't know. I've never... I mean, it's not as if... I know that I can have sex without the presence of feet, but I guess what I'm trying to think of is, but is it always with a person that I know that in some other encounter I can touch their feet? I think so. So I don't know if I've ever been with a person and, like, that's just off the table. I don't know that may be, like, my... what sort of makes it like a true fetish for me, because I don't know that I don't think I would enjoy that. Like if it was just completely a no, like a hard.
But just number. Having the possibility is sort of enough to like.
Isn't, I think it's enough. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Interesting. Hell yeah.
I mean, I want it most of the time, but yeah.
Yeah. Though I was going to say, this is the perfect time to get into like your own relationship and perspective on the topic, because I've read some of your writings on it and you do have a little bit of a unique take, and I love that.
Yeah. I think probably what you're referring to is just that it's my fetish is it's not part of any power exchange. It's not part of any dynamic. It's not a submitting or begging or being made like a slave. It's not that I want to be a footstool or tied up and teased. It's not that I want to be called gross or I mean, there are like a million different permutations that you can go into where it's like big letter / little letter. And I think most people, when they hear foot fetish, they think that's what, and maybe it is, I don't know. I've not done enough research to say whether, maybe I'm in the minority, but my fetish, I will do some of those things because they're fun, because they're fun for being those things. Like, I've definitely been in service to someone, collared at an event and getting them drinks and, you know, being on the floor. That's totally fine. That's fun. But that's not, that doesn't activate my foot fetish. That's probably a weird word. My foot fetish is just as is. It's just, I just want to interact with feet. I would like to have sex with someone while I'm interacting with their feet. And also I just want to be interacting with their feet. That's basically my foot fetish. I don't, and touching or interacting, that's as succinct as I can put it. It's sort of a, it's like a bottomless desire. I don't, it's never quenched. It's never like, insofar as like sex or, I mean, it, intercourse doesn't have to be about orgasm, but oftentimes that's what people are aiming for, right? That's what people want. You want to get off. And so that seems to have like a logical endpoint. But when I interact with feet, there's no point at which it's like, okay, I've rubbed your feet for like 3 minutes. I'm done. Like the equivalent of like, okay, I came, I'm good. Like, it just doesn't ever go away. It just never leaves my mind.
Interesting. So I'm a little bit curious, like, does this extend pretty much just to the feet themselves, or are you also interested in foot accessories like stockings and shoes and
whatever? Oh, right. That's another thing that, yeah, maybe sets me apart is, I like socks in the sense that I like to slowly pull socks off of people's feet. My favorite, kind of shoe to see someone wearing is a flip flop, because I can see.
Well, you would love it here. Most of it,
you know, down in Florida,
right? I think that kind of thing is sexy. I like people. I like seeing people in their elements. I like seeing people when they feel sexy. That's sexy to me. But it's not my foot fetish. It's just a completely separate thing.
All right, hell yeah. Spanx and Deep, do y'all have any questions?
I do. Okay.
Okay.
When people are attracted to certain body parts, like breasts or like asses, you know, there are certain shapes that they tend to gravitate for or towards. Is it the same with feet? Like, I know every foot is different, but there's usually very specific shapes that they usually fall into, like big toe forward or second toe forward, or they're all straight and aligned. Like, tell me about your preferences for feet.
Well, you're right. I think, and you see this online, like I have like a whole sock Instagram account just for my foot fetish, where I just follow feet accounts. and you do see the foot fetishists sort of gravitate toward specific shapes. It's sort of like, I like being non-monogamous because I can have sex with different people, and I like that I can interact with different bodies and shapes, and that's sort of the same with feet. I guess, in a sense, I'm lucky that I don't really need to have, like, a favorite. Do I have a favorite? It's because I'm able to have multiple partners, and I'm very fortunate, and, like, last summer I started dating again, and I've been lucky enough to have seen a few people. There's not been a foot that I've interacted with where I'm like, no, this isn't for me. And there's not been a foot that I've interacted with where it's like, this is the one.
Gotcha.
Some of it definitely has to do with the person. Another way in which maybe it's a little bit unique, there's a little bit of gray area where it's like, I sort of think of like, if I'm not attracted to the person, I tend to not want to interact with their feet. Am I attracted to their feet? That's difficult to say. I want to say no, but it's like when people say, oh, I can definitely tell the difference between Coke and Pepsi. Just blindfold me. I'll definitely be able to do it. If you showed me like a picture of someone's feet, and that was it. And I didn't know what the rest of them looked like. And, you know, I probably could be turned on, and then they reveal, like, aha, it's your mortal enemy. You know,
it's your mortal enemy.
Like that. I'm sure that there's like an immediate physical attraction there for sure.
But context is so important. I think.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, exactly. There's like a little bit of like gray sort of back and forth between, yes, I'm definitely into feet sort of at first sight outside of any context, but then whether or not you want to interact with a person. I feel the same way about like my sexuality in general. Like I identify as queer, but really my sexuality is horny. Like I'm a pretty hypersexual person. I'm pretty much attracted physically to people kind of immediately, and this is a whole other topic I can get into. I sometimes struggle with the definitions we have for sexual preferences, but it's the same way where I'm probably immediately attracted to lots of people's feet that I would never want to interact with that person ever if they talked to me, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
I've gone off quite a tangent.
But that makes sense. So, like, I mean, I've seen people who I was like, wow, that's a really attractive person over there. And then I've gone to talk to them, and
they open their mouth.
Yeah, like yeah, whatever deal breaker it might have been, right? Like,
yeah. Right. Red flag. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes someone just opens their mouth, and you're just like, damn, that is a shame.
Yeah, right.
Or the opposite. Somebody opens their mouth and you're like, how did I not notice you before? You know?
Oh, yeah.
You're so right. The door swings both ways.
I've had times where it's like, hey, they're pretty cute. And then you talk to them and they turn out to be a huge racist. Like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Deal breakers, as you said. Right. I think you said that you had a question, Deep.
I do, actually, because when I think of foot fetishism, I honestly think of foot rubs. Mm. Because I was a massage therapist and a lot of my continuing education classes were reflexology because they're cheap, I wanted to pick your brain about that and see how you feel about foot rubs or how much they actually play into your fetishism.
I love being able to give people foot rubs, but mm-hmm. I don't think I could give a friendly. No, I know I can't. I can't. And I think I went into this just a tad at the tail end of my Lux Occult podcast episode.
Yes, that's right. You can also hear a conversation that I had with Stevie on my other show, Lux Occult Podcast.
Which is not to say, like, oh, do your research. I will definitely.
You should listen to this other show.
That was a good
plug.
You're a natural.
I can't not sexualize people's feet. I just cannot. I can't not do it. It's not as if like I'm a fiend and I'm fantasizing constantly and I, you know, or whatever, but I just wouldn't put myself in a position where, and I would definitely, if someone wanted one and we were just friends, that would be my question is like, I can do that, but hey, this is a thing. Is it going to bug you if I'm sexualizing this like the whole time, you know, that again, that doesn't mean that I'm going to start doing weird things. We are just doing a foot rub, but in my head, we're doing weird things, you know? So, so in that sense, it just wouldn't be the career move for me as far as like, you know, whether it's part of my fetish. I mean, sure. You know, I've definitely given that pitch to somebody before, like, I don't have pickup lines. I have like, hey, I would rub your feet for hours, you know, just,
I'm sold.
Hit me up. Yeah, it will be. If we're partners, you're cool that I'm sexualizing your feet. It doesn't have to turn into anything. Yeah. I like to give foot rubs. I don't know if I'm any better at them than, people that are not foot fetishes. I might be worse because I might sort of, it's like all about me. Actually, like if I've paused for like 3 full minutes, just like, you know, like holding my palm against your soul. Like that's not a great, you know, foot rub maybe. Just sort of became transfixed. Nice. Reflexology is really cool. I've never looked deeply into it, but I think that it's a cool idea. That's like the idea that parts of the foot correspond to different organs in the body. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I wish I could go more into it, but it was years ago and forgot. But there's a bunch of handy charts out there, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Interesting. It's cool
too. But yeah, you did answer my question though, because I was often kind of contemplating that. It's like, do they give better foot rubs? Like some kind of teen magazine journalist I am.
Sure. This is a Cosmo.
Yeah. It's one step above TMZ.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I don't think we should rest on those kinds of laurels.
TMZ reporter. Okay.
I usually outlast the person. Like in the past when I've given foot rubs, it's usually like, okay, you can stop if you want to, which is like a nice way of saying like, okay, I want my legs back, please.
Yeah. So for me, some of the things that I'm interested in, I have like these really kind of complex, nuanced feelings about. And like for some of them, there's a little bit of like almost like a revulsion in there that is like a turn on for me. And maybe it has to do with taboo also, perhaps. Like, as I said, it's nuanced and everything. Do you feel that there's something like that in there for you, or is that absent from this interest?
That's interesting. So the first thing that comes to mind is like people often think that where they go to, where their minds go to, is like feet are dirty. Mm-hmm. And they're smelly, of course, right? That's a thing.
They can be.
Sure, they can be.
After a while, right? You can clean anything.
Well,
yeah, I said lots of things can be smelly.
That's true. So if you're into that, you must be kind of gross, right? Like you're kind of like a gross person. And that can, in that sense, there's like a taboo. I'm not into like filthy feet. Like I don't seek out, like, you know, you've been in your garden or something, and you know, like that's not something I am turned on.
And some people are into that, but yeah,
yes, absolutely. And I when I say these things, it's not so that I can dismiss them.
Oh yeah.
Which I don't feel like any of you are doing. I just want to make it absolutely clear.
Totally.
I'm just sort of zeroing in and bringing examples from like what I've seen other foot fetishists and foot models do, and blah blah blah. I think only insofar as, you know, even so, like, you know, the foot's not caked with dirt, okay, but I still kind of like, I've specifically asked partners, can you know, we're gonna see each other on such and such day, can you not, like, can you wear your shoes and socks all day and then not take a shower before we have our date? And then can I take your shoes and socks off? And so that's like a little bit like taboo. That's a little bit, I mean, I also like body odor. So like the whole please don't shower thing is also like a little bit. I think that's probably would be kind of difficult for a lot of people in dating culture, you know, to not shower before a date. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I specifically want that. Or I'll say, can you put the same, this is maybe even grosser, can you put the same socks back on? which maybe that's where they draw the line. I always feel a little bit of sort of what you're talking about. It's not revulsion, but like, I do like body odor. I like the way feet smell. And it does always go through my mind, I guess, that this is aberrant. This is a little bit like funky. This is weird. This is weird of me. And that can make it difficult to find partners that are not going to be in a weird headspace, like a bad headspace about it, and put me in a bad headspace about it. Like, it's very important for me to feel safe. It's very important for everyone to feel safe with partners, for sure.
Totally.
But like with this, it's definitely a specific, doesn't necessarily have to be like a whole discussion, but I usually feel out like the way people answer certain questions when I ask them, you know, one of my the newest people that I've been seeing, I'm just weird. Like I asked them sort of in a tantalizing way, because I knew that it would not be weird. I said, you know, there are a lot of things that I'm wondering about when we meet each other. For instance, will you think I'm a total weirdo if I go to kiss your palms and before I let you have your hand back, I smell your palms? Because I'm weird. Because I like to smell people. I like to be really, really close and intimate with them. And feet, to me, less than revulsion, it's more, there's an intimacy there, because it's a safe assumption that not a lot of people are here in this part of your body, like really close.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
So it's like I have like a privileged access to your body.
There's another thing that kind of enters my mind as we're talking about this, and this is the sort of like historical context in which feet come up in like the religious, the like dominant religions of a lot of places. Like, I think that it's in the Bible. I believe in Islamic traditions, like, you know, things about like washing your feet a certain number of times a day. Like, there's all this like foot related stuff, you know, like Jesus washing the feet of the people and stuff. I'm not a biblical scholar, obviously. Sure. But right. So yeah, it's interesting here too that we have like this whole lineage of this kind of activity, and I guess it is really seen in a lot of historical contexts as being a very like service oriented thing. So just an errant thought.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something that definitely goes through my mind, is like there's a responsibility I have now that you've partner, lover, when I say you, right, like the whoever's allowing me this access to their body, to this intimate part of their body, something that maybe they might otherwise feel some embarrassment about, then I have a responsibility to take that very seriously, which I'm going to anyway. Not that they can't be playful. And also, I just get really heady. I mean, when I get that close to a person, I just sort of get lost. I just sort of get like flesh drunk. Yeah, I don't know where I was going with that. Now I'm just a little hot and bothered.
Me too. what are we talking about? I have no idea.
Continue.
You had talked about service. Like, is that? I think that's the question you asked, or something that you had said.
Yeah, that's right. Because you had mentioned that you were experimenting with this role of service topping.
Right. Yeah. That's right. So, for a long time, just like how I thought, or was, I should just say I was, because practicing, I was a monogamist. That's the kind of relationship I was in. And not unhappy, just, you know, whatever. And then things changed. When I first got into fetishism and BDSM, I was sure that I was a bottom. But as time has gone on, I've learned that I can switch. Because when I met one of my partners shortly after getting into BDSM and kink and getting on FetLife, we didn't know if we'd even work, because on paper we were both bottoms or subs, which I know are not quite the same thing, but they're pretty adjacent though, and it's sort of like a battery, right, where it's like negative negative, like it's
sure.
It doesn't seem like it's going to work, right?
Without a lot of difference, there's not going to be as much dynamic flow. Yes.
But we learned that actually, no, there's like a ton of chemistry there. And then I just gradually, it's gradually dawned on me as time has gone on that I'm not just a bottom. I like to bottom. I can be somewhat submissive, but mostly I switch. And also, it's just that when I am topping, which is not the same thing as domming, I'm the one doing the active things, it's in service to my partner. And so, yeah, like a foot rub would definitely be like a little bit of foreplay, or just, you know, just a nice, not necessarily leading to anything else, just like a nice act of service. So I like it because I can just interact with feet. But then, yes, I guess if there's anything that my foot fetish is adjacent to, or it sort of blends into, it can be a little bit of that. Just as an aside, like most of the time, it's not what I'm thinking about when I'm rubbing people's feet. It's like, I had a partner once that was a little bit flabbergasted, sort of like, is this it? Like, what else do you want me to do? And it's just like, nothing, just lay there. I just want to touch your feet. And she's like, this is great. Like, I don't have to do anything. Like, and was still kind of, it took her a while to just sort of believe that that was all I, you know, wanted to do with her feet. But service top. I really like pillow princesses. Are you familiar with the term mm-hmm. a pillow princess? So if you just lie back and just let me make you come with my mouth, then we're both, you know, we're good. Like that's, in some ways, like that's kind of like, I couldn't ask for a better sexual encounter than that.
Who could?
Hell yeah.
Just joking.
I think that giving people pleasure is it's just a major turn on. It blends really nicely in with like a deep sensualism that I'm into. I'm not super into pain. I can do like rough stuff, but at heart, I think, or like where I rest most comfortably, left to my own devices and trying to figure out what turns me on, I want heavy, heavy sensualism, lots of intimacy, lots of sort of what most people would think of as very weird, close, like smelling and tasting and kissing and brushing with like fingertips and squeezing and grasping and just sort of like becoming totally engrossed in someone's body. I like to whisper into people's skin.
Oh yeah.
Even if it's not like within earshot, I just it sort of gets like quasi mystical, maybe even.
I love that. Very cool.
Yeah, and also that just blends perfectly well with right, like I'm giving them pleasure. It's not that I don't want to then have sort of more traditional sex. It's that it would be less fun. It would be less meaningful and not as good a time if we didn't do all that stuff beforehand. And also, I'm good to just do all that stuff and not even have it be the beforehand, just it be the thing.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
I've been talking for a while. I don't know if that answered questions. I keep forgetting the questions that
no, don't worry. That was good. I don't know. To be honest, like you did such a good job like describing like this that I'm a little bit lost in terms of where we are in the interview because I'm still thinking about it. So there is a question that we like to ask our guests, and this is switching gears a little bit. So if there was more, please feel free to elucidate further.
I do want to go back to Spanx, you had asked about certain shapes and sizes.
Yes.
I do want to say that although I don't have maybe like a favorite shape of foot, I do delight in all of like the different, I love the like the crinkles in a sole, which are called dermal ridges.
Hmm.
This is a quote unquote fetish I have listed on my FetLife profiles, dermal ridges.
I love it.
I think that the idea of fetishes on FetLife gets a little bit ridiculous because I think it's just it's almost anything that people list, right? Like, which is fine. I don't know if it's a fetish, but you know, whatever.
I feel like the further you go into like the niche ones, it might have people ask questions, and then it's a conversation starter.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. So I like that. I like you know, when I love when toes scrunch, and then also is that definitely feeds into the service top in me. If I can make your toes scrunch, then fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
This isn't a serious question at all, but do you like it when people pick things up with their toes?
Actually, I think that's delightful for a different reason.
I've been really lazy with my life and I don't feel like bending over, so I just always kind of pick things up with my feet, just like,
yeah.
Toes and I can grab things with it and I'm gonna use them. I'm gonna use them to grab them.
God damn it.
Here's an interesting poll. Like, so how many, unless you don't want to, I don't, I will go ahead and volunteer that my, there's a big toe. There's a toe like right next to that one. Right. And that toe on my foot is longer than my big toe. That's supposedly like a specific, well, it's not supposedly, it is like a specific,
yeah. Toe shapes apparently are genetic and regional.
Yeah.
But,
the toe next to the big toe is shorter, or maybe shorter. It's like almost the same.
Or the same, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Pretty close to the same.
My second toe is longer, and then it's just a stair step diagonal all the way down.
Yeah, same.
Mine are perfect up until the pinky toe, where it just kind of curves inward, and like, it's just, it's trying to not exist.
Yeah, so, my pinky toe is trying to hide.
Yeah, the same. Pinky toes are barely toes, yeah. Like, mine is a little piggy, for sure.
Yeah, it feels like with mine that my genetics are trying to, like, wean out the pinky toe. Like,
yeah. Yes. I guess not just me.
I've heard evolutionary biologists suggest that that might be the case someday.
Wow. I don't know. I don't want to be alive for that.
It would be a long, long time.
No.
I wouldn't worry about it, friends.
Yeah, I'm not. Don't lose sleep.
Oh, don't worry. You'll be dead long before then.
Yeah. It's not Pokemon. It's not. That's not the kind of evolution we're talking about.
Although, if you could Pokemon yourself, what would you evolve into? Anyway.
After enough fighting and kicking, you'll probably lose your pinky. So there, that's a form of evolution.
There also, like, the space between my big toe and the next toe is kind of enormous. Like, it's like incredible. Like, I can spread out quite a bit. It looks super bizarre.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mine, I do not have a huge space. I hate wearing like thong sandals or flippy floppies. Like,
they hurt
for that reason. Yeah, they hurt so bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a closed-toed shoe sort of man.
Absolutely. Nothing wrong with that.
If I could, I'd go barefoot. Like a hobbit. Yeah. Like a giant hobbit.
I have such sensitive little feet. I never did that much as a kid. I've known people that it's like, how are you walking on that gravel? Because, like, I have to, like, tiptoe through and go so carefully. I'm just so, such precious little feet.
Oh, mine are basically leather. I love dirt.
Nice.
So, Stevie, when did you first realize that you were a kinky person?
That's going to depend, because if it's when I first realized I was into feet but didn't sort of know, you know, that there it wasn't just me and all that, and know that it was sort of part of a, you know, a fetishism and kink and stuff like that.
I don't think anybody's actually parsed the question that thoroughly. A lot of people answer with, like, when they first discovered what they're into, but that's, very sure. You can answer either way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't remember a time I wasn't into feet. It's sort of like, as soon as I sort of came online sexually, which I don't even, I don't have, like, a moment, I don't recall. And it would be before I had any words for, you know, sexuality, and it just wouldn't have occurred to me. But I mean, I mean, I just had such weird, I think, you know, in that writing that I, you know, sent, that writing that I would like to turn into a zine, I talk about, I think, in there, how some of my first fantasies, and I was so young, I wasn't even doing anything about them, right? Like, I wasn't masturbating or anything. It was just like I was having these fantasies. They were just in my head. I was very young. And it would be like people that I thought were cute. They would just like put one of their legs up like on my shoulder. There's like anatomically, this is just, it's madness. and so then their bare foot would just be there like on my shoulder, close to my face. And I didn't have then any fantasies about them being naked or anything. I didn't even know, like, probably what their naked bodies would look like. It's just that their foot was like right there, and they would just sort of, we would just stand there, and that was it. Hmm. We didn't kiss or anything. So I feel like I've known before I've known that I was a kinky person. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah.
And then on the other hand, it's only recent, because, you know, I was not just monogamous But it was a pretty vanilla relationship until we opened our marriage and things got real weird. So that would only be 6 years, 6 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
It feels like forever ago with like COVID and everything that's happened. Oh, I've gone
in the before times.
God, yeah. Yes. Yeah, like I've gone through a divorce. I've bought a house. COVID happened. Remarried. Yeah, just like a ton of stuff.
Wow,
like
a
whole lifetime.
Yeah,
that's a timeline.
Yeah,
that's a lot of stuff to jam into such a short time.
Yeah.
But congratulations to all of that, though. It sounds like while it is a lot of it is really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. Okay. It's been really great to learn about myself and grow more into myself. And also, you know, foot fetishism is not something I ever talked about with partners. I mean, before that pivotal event that I got cracked wide open, before getting on a site and being able to express myself and writing poems about feet. And before that, I'd kind of stopped thinking of myself as a sexual being. You know, I'd worked myself into a groove. I wasn't great mental health wise. And even before that, like I think it was sort of like an unspoken thing. Like I didn't talk all the time about how like I wanted to touch my partner's feet, like my girlfriend or whoever it was. It's like, but I did, right? And they were okay with it, but it wasn't like I didn't name it. And we didn't discuss it. I definitely mm-hmm. didn't talk about all the things I'd like to do, you know. And I think some of that's just when you're young, maybe you just, like most people, just aren't sort of there yet emotionally or mature enough or whatever to have really, really great communication.
Yeah, and communication is it's a skill, and it's something that's really difficult. It's something that you almost have to work on with each different person that you're communicating with, because everybody has their own like little version of the language that they speak and stuff. So totally.
Yeah. So that has been fantastic to be able to settle into and embody that is a fetish that I have, and that I'm just a hypersexual person. Yeah, I'm very grateful for the things that have happened and what has led me to this moment and all of the people that I've interacted with and had friendships with and hung out with, and some of them I still experience life with. Very, very grateful.
Oh yeah, I love that.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Do you have thoughts about things that like we haven't asked about? Is there anything that you want to comment on that's not related to topics we've covered, or anything you want to elaborate on or anything like that?
I think it's really interesting when people talk about a foot fetish that the sort of immediate assumption is, and I think it's a fair assumption because it's like that this is generally what we're talking about, right? Is that a foot fetish is when someone wants to touch or interact or do something with someone's feet, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that I've also seen it where people have said foot fetish in the sense that like they want their feet to be touched.
Sure. Yeah, we didn't talk about that. That there must be the other side of the coin there, right?
Right. And so I also feel really fortunate that I've been able to find people that it's not just that they tolerate it, right? Like, even if it's like not something they've thought about before, and maybe they still wouldn't call themselves like a fetishist or say that like that's a main desire they have, but that at least when they're with me, it's pleasurable enough that they're like leaning into it, and it's not just them tolerating it while we have like very vanilla sex and like, oh, if you throw me a bone, like throw me a foot.
throw me a foot though.
Throw me a foot. Yeah. That has been really nice. And I don't know how many, I'd not done like a ton of research on foot fetishism. I don't know how many people out there are like that, where it's like, it really, really turns them on to just have their feet touch, so that there's like a perfect synergy between the two people, like the person that wants to touch feet, the person that has feet that they want to be touched.
I'm thinking about this, and I think like for me, like I am into it and stuff, but I think for me it's more of like a power thing.
Yeah. Which is that's another part of it too. I wonder how many of those people call themselves foot fetishist or if it just falls in with their sort of larger identity as like top or dom or, you know, that kind of thing. I have found like one other person that we've talked and flirted and that they're as into feet as I am. And so that's something that I've not experienced before that I would like to experience at some point is being with the proposal was for mutual foot kissing and touching.
Okay.
Yeah. That's sort right. of that's sort of like an unfulfilled desire. Not that I couldn't do that with any of my partners now, but like
knowing that somebody's super into it makes it way different. Right. Like we were talking about
earlier. Yeah. It's not because I've requested it, it's because like you want to
do
it.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I in my head it's like I'm thinking of a foot boat where like we're on a couch and laying, you know, inverse to each other. Is that
sure?
I mean, facing different ways. Yeah,
I'm picturing it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a foot boat. It's like the Fiona Apple video. Wow, I'm really dating myself here. The smooth, the
yeah, we're all Gen Zers here.
Yeah, never mind. That's not gonna, that's not gonna work.
I'm a millennial.
I'm almost 40.
Millennial.
No, I remember Fiona Apple. I don't remember that specific video though.
She's in a bathtub. I think it's Criminal. She's in a bathtub.
Yeah.
It's super sexy. It's like the you know, you never see that person's face, but they just have their feet like right up there. And I'd have to go back and watch it now. I think that's probably the first thing I'll do after talking is go watch the Criminal video.
Important research to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
No, I'll do it too because I want to see it again. Because, like, okay, now I want to see these feet.
Yeah. Because I think that she might even, like, put her face on them, but I just can't remember. And I don't want to mischaracterize the video.
And don't spoil it for me.
Or spoil it. Yeah. Sorry.
Hell yeah. Well, do you have any questions for us, Stevie?
It's been a long time since I've listened to an episode.
We haven't put one out in a while, so that makes sense.
Well, what I was going to say is I feel like it's I feel like you've talked about it before where you all got into this podcast not just to nerd out but also to learn more about yourselves. Where are you all on that journey of actually like learning more about, have you discovered even more since the last time? I'm pretty sure you brought it up at one point, one of your latest podcasts, maybe.
Yeah. Always cool to
like
check
where
in.
Where you
though.
Are in your journey. Yeah.
So yeah, you're correct. Like, well, actually I'll let y'all go first. I feel like I've talked a lot tonight.
Mine will be like really quick. Cause I haven't really done anything, not really too much discovery or not too much like realization. More or less, my journey is kind of like coming to terms with myself and trying to get the courage up to talk more openly about the things I enjoy.
Hell yeah.
Mine's a little complicated, and that's only because in the time that we've been recording this, I've been transitioning. So I am pumped to the gills full of testosterone at the moment.
So
my levels are far higher than they were when we first started, or at least whenever I first, you know, came on board in the start of season two. So if there's one thing that I have learned in the span of this is that my bisexuality is not a like 25-75 like it was. It's a full on 50.
All right, so you've moved to 3 on the Kenzie scale. Welcome.
It's like puberty 2.
It's puberty 2. It's terrible.
Hell yeah. Well, yeah, I definitely feel like I've gotten a lot more comfortable being expressive about this stuff, which is, for me, one of the things that I really wanted to do, not just with making this show, but with, you know, the other show that I make, Lexicall. You know, a lot of it has just been about really coming out and expressing so many of the things that I'd been hiding, just in terms of like wanting to be more authentic and wanting to like, you know, develop personally, I guess is, but yeah, so I definitely feel a lot more comfortable, a lot less shame. I was struggling with a lot of like really, really intense shame surrounding a lot of the things that I'm interested in. And I do think that just educating myself and being willing to like talk to other people and stuff really, as you mentioned, like was a good way of contextualizing that, like, yeah, it's like, yeah, maybe it's like a little weird or whatever, but it's not like horrible or whatever, right. like I was imagining. So yeah. But I think
weird.
That's, I, to be honest, I do think that that's work that continues on for me. And like, I still learn things about myself that I don't always feel comfortable with at first, but they're still there. So it's good to explore. And so, yeah, I think that it's, our experiment is progressing well, I would say.
Hell yeah.
Awesome.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Thank you so much for asking. Yeah. That's a great question.
Yeah.
Thanks for checking in.
Yeah, and if you ever get that Show FetLife profile up.
Okay, yes, we
I'll get to work on it soon. I get to work. I say that, but like, I got to do something about myself, goddammit.
Oh.
We all do. It's okay.
I was going to say, yeah, I always find it interesting when there are group pages because, yeah, what exactly does one put down for a group page? Because there's no such thing, right? It's the only option is to make like a personal page. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's kind of strange.
Nothing like having four people's fetishes all mashed together in a single
right,
list.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say we could do like a fun bonus ep and we could record ourselves building this FetLife profile together.
Okay. Okay.
That sounds fun.
Okay.
Ooh, yes. We'll come back to that.
I want to do this.
All right.
This sounds good.
Yep.
Well, Stevia, I really appreciate you taking the time to come and talk with us and being so open and succinct and telling us all this very interesting stuff.
Yeah.
I was hoping we could close out with, you know, maybe just some general thoughts and advice for listeners and people who might be interested in learning more or anything like that.
I think that FetLife is a great resource. I, warts and all, it can be a less than positive place sometimes.
It is social media, so
it is social media. Yeah. But I think as far as finding other people, especially in your area, that are into the things that you are also into, it can be very validating. It can be very freeing. It can be very healthy, and it sort of opens the door to find new ways to express yourself and new ways to maybe name yourself. There might be blueprints or identities that you just weren't aware of. Always, you know, be cautious and, you know, go to public or meetups where it's like open to lots of people as opposed to just meet up people. You know, this is common sense. Mm-hmm. Same with like Tinder or anything else, right? Use your best judgment on that. But I think it's a great resource because you can get on it and you can decide never to, you know, go out and meet people that are just on there, and it can just be a great resource online, you know, for you to sort of get your feet wet and get terminology that you can then go research and look up books and articles and all that on. And some of that is like readily available just depending on what groups that you join on FetLife.
Hell yeah.
And I don't, as many podcasts as I listen to, I don't listen to a whole lot of like podcasts on sexuality. So I don't unfortunately have any recommendations there, but I'm sure that there are. I think maybe for a while I listened to one, Getting Horizontal, I think was one that I listened to that was pretty good. It's been too long though. I can't really, maybe you all have sort of like general, like besides this one, like, you know, books, articles, podcasts. FetLife is basically where I started on my journey. And because I think that there's more of an urgency when it's like you are a sub and you're looking for, you know, a dom or a bottom looking for a top, and everyone talks about, you know, there being like a top shortage. And it's hard to find, you know, people that are good people that are also able to be a good dom or top. There wasn't a lot of urgency for me to, you know, find a person. So FetLife is also where sort of my journey, other than experiencing things with actual people that I negotiate with those people, FetLife was my beginning and end sort of in researching on my own, or becoming more comfortable in learning. My predilections, my desires, my fetishes are part of like a larger sort of sexual anatomy, like sort of larger community of humans that just were just all, you know, beautifully weird. So yeah, no specific recommendations.
Okay, hell yeah.
But I feel very fortunate that I just didn't really, you know, there wasn't that urgency to, like, I didn't like, oh, I need to, you know, meet up with like a foot mentor or something, like a, like a,
the foot master must,
right, exactly, like I'm thinking like a kung fu movie where,
you know, must wait outside his house for 3 days,
right, yeah, right.
Yeah, well, and I think that's a great point to bring up, because like when we're feeling under pressure, when like this is when we're not necessarily using our best judgment, so like, yeah. I do think it makes sense to go slow, to, you know, take it chill, yeah, because it, and if somebody's trying to rush you, then they might be trying to manipulate you. So,
oh yeah,
yeah.
Totally. Do everything at your own pace is a great piece of advice. Absolutely. For sure. And if someone doesn't want you to do that, that's a major red flag.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, mm-hmm. Totally. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, hell yeah. Any last words, anybody, before we button it up here, zip up the fly, as it were.
Oh, lace this whole time it's been down. Jesus Christ.
I'm not wearing any pants.
This is really embarrassing, but your sock has been off this whole time. Just one of them.
How embarrassing.
All right, let's all put our socks back on.
Had a hard night partying where you just wake up with one sock on. Like, what happened to the other sock?
Yeah. Do you sleep with socks on?
Sometimes.
Anytime I go to sleep with them on, I kick them off in the night. I don't even know when. I just wake up without socks.
I like to have my feet warm because mostly my extremities get cold because of shitty blood flow or something like that. So I like to be warm in my feet.
So because I also would like to find someone that would like to touch my feet and be turned on by that, I have like a whole foot care routine.
Oh, okay.
That I definitely wear socks because I put lotion on my feet every night. After I shower, I use like a foot scrubber to like get any dead skin off, and then yeah, put. I've got a few different kinds right now. I've got the Burt's Bees coconut foot cream with vitamin E. So I put that on after using the foot scrubber, and get socks on my feet. I don't generally walk around barefoot ever because I want my feet to be very soft.
That makes sense.
That's my problem. Yeah. It's like I want soft feet, but I also also find myself in situations where I'm barefoot and on, like, you know, hardened or heated ground. So.
Sure.
It's good to have leathery feet.
Yeah. No, that's totally valid. Yeah. Socks are constrictive. My wife almost never has socks on. Definitely doesn't wear them to bed.
Good.
Kinda. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna complain. It's funny. She actually, when she found out I was gonna be on, she asked if, jokingly, she asked if you would want to talk to her feet. To have like a mini
interview. What do they have to say? Like,
yeah.
Never interviewed a foot before.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Well, fuck yeah. Thank you so much. I feel like we're devolving quickly.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. This is not a podcast.
This is
you literally
what
stay. Like, you listen to Smuts Up for the first hour, it's really good, but those last 10 minutes are just pure distilled chaos.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that we haven't brought up the Matrix. Oh, there we have it. Okay, I brought up the Matrix, so I think we can end the episode.
We're doing so well. You almost pitched a perfect game.
Wow. So close.
All right. Well, I really appreciate it, Stevie. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate the opportunity to be on. Thank you so much for having me on. It's a blast to be able to talk about feet. I just don't really get the opportunity very often. So
hell yeah. Well, we appreciate it. And we also appreciate you writing in with your thoughts about lube, too, and all kinds of
things. Oh, yeah.
Yes, please don't be a stranger.
I have an update on that.
Oh, okay, good.
Okay, go.
I am now a complete... Well, can't be for all toys, but I really, really love coconut oil now.
Okay.
Like, that's my go-to. Like, absolutely delicious.
Okay.
Like, it's absolutely lovely feeling. You just can't use it on silicone.
Sure. Yeah, I was going to say, not safe for everything. So. Right, but yeah, it's very cool.
But I have...
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, but I, you know, don't always need a toy. And mm-hmm. I have an Enjoy wand that's pure steel. So.
Hell yeah. Ooh.
Nice.
Yeah, I just bought a pure steel toy. I fucking love it. It's, I love the weight of it. It's fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah, it's so cool.
They're so elegant.
It's fucking nice. Gorgeous. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll brag more about my sex toys later.
I put a D20 in my mouth.
All right, fuck all of you.
I love you.
All right, fuck yeah. Thank you so much to Stevie for joining us. We really appreciate it.
I didn't want to, like, you know, spoil it in the intro, but, like, Stevie brought the heat, you know, like, God damn.
I think we said it during the interview. Like, I think this is like the first episode that we've done that might be considered like hot or have hot aspects to it.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. Like, that's not true. We've had lots of sexy people on our show before, but it hasn't ever like sounded so sexy, I don't think.
And I don't think like all of us were just like kind of transfixed on what they were saying. Like, it was really continue.
I really liked hearing those vivid descriptions. Like, I've definitely been thinking about thinking about how I would like to be able to speak more candidly and everything, and I think that Stevie's a great, you know, kind of role model for that. So thank you, Stevie.
And, you know, also a little inspirational as well to speak so openly about what they're into and, like, you know.
Well, all right, so we don't really have too much more to say. I mean, I think we've pretty much said most of it in the interview and everything, but we do want to thank everybody so much for listening. Like, we really appreciate you all taking the time to hang out with us here. You know, when you're here with the Smuts Up crew, you are step family.
Whether you like it or not.
Absolutely. You can always hit deep up on Instagram at Smuts Up Pod. Is that right?
I think it's just Smuts Up 69.
Smuts Up 69. Thank you. That's even better.
That's why I said I think. I know. I'm 100% sure and confident in my answer. And yes, it is Smuts Up.
Smuts Up 69 on Instagram. And you can get us an email at smutsup69@gmail.com.
Yes, please.
Yes, please. So yes, please don't be shy. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Your, you know, ideas about topics that you would like us to cover, or if you have questions, we would welcome them as well, to the extent that we would be able to answer them. We're not experts. If you ask us questions to things like related to the Matrix or like, don't like send us. Oh, I mean, I guess you can ask us for advice. It might not be very good advice, but
It's like
I'll try to help.
That is the thing about advice. Like, it's like, you know, like, you don't have to take it. We can just freely give it out, though.
If you want joke advice, you can write to us and we will offer you humorous advice. But I don't think that we should offer any real advice because you don't really have any expertise or credentials or anything like that.
No, we don't.
So.
I know I do. I can't speak for everybody. What if someone in our group is like a secret psychologist and they just haven't, you know, told us about it?
Secret psychologist. It sounds like a fun party game.
It does, actually.
All right, so there's always something fun happening on the Green Mushroom Podcast Network. Don't miss all of the great shows. We have Administrism, Ad Hoc History, XV Planis, and you can hear my conversation with Flood and Alejandro on that. I had a great time talking with them about the Green Mushroom Project. Ooh. As well as my sound and sex magic project, which involves creating a haunted sex toy. So if that sounds interesting, check that out.
I'm sold, actually.
Good. Yeah, check it out. It's a great conversation. There'll be links to that in the show notes as well as to the other shows. Don't miss Faithblind Council, Grognostics, Lux Occult, which is my other show. And you can, and as I mentioned during the interview, you can hear Stevie come and speak with me there as well, and all kinds of good stuff. And we also have Primordia and Unearthing Paranormalcy. Lots of shows about fun, spooky stuff and curiosity and exploring the unknown. So if you're into that, check it out. So this has been a lot today. How do you feel about some aftercare?
I always need aftercare.
All right. Well, we've said it before on this show, and we will say it again.
Everyone has a thing, and that's okay, as long as it's consensual and legal and all that stuff. But if you feel like your thing, or whatever it is causing you problems, for instance, stuff that psychologists might consider maladaptive, like anger, self-harm, avoidance, or withdrawal, please don't hesitate to find someone to talk to.
Absolutely. You don't need to be ashamed of it. And there is all kinds of options out there. So yeah, treat yourself to some help if you feel like that could benefit you. Also, consent is never optional and must be enthusiastic and ongoing. Anything that's not a fuck yes is a no. Minors and those under the influence of intoxicants cannot legally give consent.
Nope. And remember, no matter who you think you are right now, no matter what you look like, you deserve love and to be happy and all those wonderful fluffy things. So please take care of yourself. You deserve it.
Absolutely. And remember, it's never a bad idea to put a condom on it. Always be smart and look after yourself. Be safe out there. We love you.
Be safe. Put a condom on it. I love you.
Happy Pride Month. We love you.
Happy Pride Month. I love most of you.
I don't know you, actually. I don't know you, and I don't like you.
Yeah. Very neutral toward you.
Is that a mean enough vibe to go out on?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right, good. Fuck all of you.
Yeah, fuckers. Pieces of shit.
Just kidding, you're the best. We love you. Bye.
You deserve it, you fucker.
Smuts Up is part of the Green Mushroom Podcast Network. To hear more great independent productions like the one you just listened to, visit our catalog at tgmpodcastnetwork.com.
I like to record topless so I feel more vulnerable.
Me too.
Yeah, he's right.
But it doesn't make me feel more vulnerable. It makes me feel more powerful.
I put a D20 in my mouth.
Hello, strange seeds. This is the Primordia Podcast, your source for strange. I'm your host, Britt. Join me semi-weekly as we pull off our flesh suits and dive into the primordial waters of the mystical and magical, the downright freaky, the strange and bizarre, unsettling synchronicities, and the truly terrifying. You'll leave each episode with a list of reading recommendations if you feel so inclined to research further the topics we discuss, which I encourage you to do. Connect with a growing community of eclectic minds who strive to leave a more positive, compassionate imprint on this weird world we live in. So dive on in with us, and don't be scared. The water's fine.
What scares you?
Ghosts.
Aliens.
Monsters.
The occult. Conspiracies.
Some of you like to be scared, and Unearthing Paranormalcy is for you.
Some of you try everything you can to avoid it. Unearthing Paranormalcy is for you.
We take the topics that scare some, and we dig in to find the source, then present the history to make the paranormal a little more normal.
We also throw in a bit of comedy to shed a light on some of the darkness in the world.
So whether you're scared of bumps in the night, what's inside your own mind, or strange lights in the sky, we cover it all.
We dig in and present all that we find and try to come up with some logical
and not so logical
reasons for the high strangeness happenings.
Sometimes we are scared of the things we don't understand, and the more we understand, the less we fear.
So find us, Unearthing Paranormalcy, on your favorite podcast app, and join us on Facebook, Instagram, and Discord at UMP Normalcy. And until next time,
keep digging.